Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
What may surprise some people is that on the list is a US radio shock doc, radio chat show host Michael Savage, who has professed views about a number of things, including rape, homosexuality, immigration. He's written widely a number of books, very popular, listened to American chat show host.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now.
So among those excluded, two leaders of a violent Russian skinhead gang, a former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard and a neo-Nazi, but also a radio talk show host. Isn't that sort of suppressing freedom of speech, in a sense?
Well, I have to say, this radio talk show host isn't your sort of Terry Wogan-type character by any means. This is somebody who has fallen into the category of fementing hatred, of such extreme views and expressing them in such a way that it's actually likely to cause inter-community tension or even violence if that person were allowed into the country.
Well, I don't know who this pork eater is, but I have a question for her. I hear she's the Home Secretary of the former England. When has this witch heard my show since it is not syndicated in England? When has this witch listened to my program in England? And which show or shows is this witch referring to? I was shocked, and I thought I was seeing things when it said that Michael Savage banned in England. I said, am I seeing? So the first thought I had was, darn, there goes the summer trip to receive their dental care. And then I'm going to have to give up my summer trip where I was going to do a tour of British restaurants for their famous cuisine. But then it dawned on me who they had linked me with. I thought this is a joke or a mistake. They linked me up with Russian skinheads who had murdered 10 people, Islamists who had smashed in the heads of Jewish children with rifle butts, preachers in the UK who call for the destruction and overthrow of the government. How could they put Michael Savage in the same league with mass murderers when I have never avowed violence? Had I avowed violence, I wouldn't be on the radio. I wouldn't have lasted 15 minutes, let alone 15 years. In fact, my opinions are more in keeping with the mainstream of America than you would like to believe. I am closer to the heartland of America than is, let us say, this woman. I want to remind you, though, that the whole point of the First Amendment, which we enjoy in America, and apparently these Brits do not enjoy, is to protect offensive speech, not polite speech. Let me repeat that. The whole point of the First Amendment was to protect offensive speech, not polite speech. And I want to remind you, liberals, whatever happened to your famous sayings from the 60s, I may disagree with you, but I will fight to the death your right to say it. Will they ban my listeners from attending, going to their wonderful, great nation as well? I mean, I've been banned from Britain. I hadn't planned on going there. I hadn't been there in over 25 years. But the point is, today it's me, tomorrow it's someone else. And my second reaction was that the land of the Magna Carta has now become the land of the Mini Carta. They published 16 of the 22 names of those banned from England since October. But they didn't include six additional names. Right? Now, I'd like to know who it is who put together this list. I'd like to know which six names are not being published. I'd like to know why they have not banned, for example, Kim Jong-il II, who allegedly has starved over a million of his own fellow countrymen to death. Is Kim Jong-il banned from England? What about Chavez, Hugo Chavez? Is he banned from England? He has driven half the Jews out of his nation with his hate talk. Is he banned by Home Secretary Jackie Smith? No, she picked an easy target. She doesn't know my show, obviously, but somebody in America sent her my name, and as a result of this, I'm going to sue her. I don't know if I can win. I don't know the laws of England. I have seven lawyers working on this right now. Britain defamed Michael Savage, putting me in a league with mass murderers because of my opinions. For this lunatic, Jackie Smith, the Home Secretary of England, to link me up with skinheads who are killing people in Russia, to put me in league with Hamas murderers who kill Jews on buses, is defamation. Moreover, I've been endangered by this lunatic. She has painted a target on my back, linking me with people who are in prison for killing people. Does she not think this will bring harm to me? And if she does, will she pay for it? We'll find out soon enough what the laws of England protect and don't protect. But even liberals listening to this show should be disturbed at the move by the British government, because they wonder, they should wonder, who's next. Today it's me, tomorrow it's you. And I have to say to you that this is, in some ways people are saying, Savage, it's a badge of honor. Savage is a good thing to be on this list. Savage, this is the last gasp of a troubled Labour Party that is out of touch with the voters of England. According to the most recent surveys, Labour and highly unpopular Prime Minister Gordon Brown are expected to be swept from power by Conservatives at the next general election. That's all well and good. But will the Conservatives undo the damage that this lunatic has done? We'll have to wait and see. The Home Office of England said that I was banned because I am engaging in unacceptable behavior. Behavior? How is it behavior for me to publish books? Now, I thought about this, and it could be that my latest book, Psychological Nudity, on the cover of which you see Michael Savage and my 10-pound dog, Teddy, it could be that One-Armed Frank or Fat Al's Tuna or Dead Man's Pants or Woodchuck Bill or Love by the Sewer Plant, it could be that one of these stories is offensive to those in England. I really don't know. I do know this, that I've written many bestsellers, but prior to my political life, I had written about 18 books in the field of health that were well-received as well. Perhaps they're out of touch with the English today. Perhaps my books on vitamins and nutrition are considered a threat to the social order in England. Some would say, Savage, don't be so upset. It's going to help the sales of Psychological Nudity. Well, okay, great. Go on to michaelsavage.com and buy a copy and send it to a friend in England and tell him to walk around with it proudly. Do me a favor. It's not going to change my lifestyle. What other books have been banned and what other authors have been banned in relatively modern history? I'm in very good company if you want to look at it from that point of view. Did you know that Brave New World by Aldous Huxley was banned in Ireland in 1932? How about Candide by Voltaire, seized by U.S. Customs in 1930? How about Dr. Zhivago by Boris Pasternak? Dr. Zhivago was banned within the ex-Soviet Union until 1988 because it's criticism of the Bolshevik Party. Now, that's very close to this group in England, isn't it? Did you know that Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift banned in Ireland? Did you know that Orwell's 1984 was banned by the USSR in 1950? Did you know that 1984 was nearly banned by the USA and UK in the early 60s during the Cuban Missile Crisis because it was thought to disturb the social order? How about the Satanic Verses by Rushdie? Did you know that The Sorrows of Young Werther by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe was banned in several European countries? Why? Because The Sorrows of Young Werther encouraged the suicidal deaths amongst some susceptible individuals. Oh, as well, The Call of the Wild by Jack London, banned in Yugoslavia and Italy. So in that sense, I could say, well, okay, take it with a grain of salt, look at what's coming from. On the other hand, this is a very dangerous thing indeed. This lunatic, Jackie Smith, in my opinion, has defamed me, and if possible, I will sue her personally. This is the Savage Nation. How do you feel about England banning Michael Savage? Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think that this is a good thing for freedom? Do you think that this is a good thing for liberalism? Do you think that this is a good thing for America to do? Do you think that I should be banned from the UK for denouncing the acts of terrorism committed and promoted by other individuals on the same unwelcome list? After all, I've denounced them. I've denounced the murderers that they list on that list. But to put me in the same list is astonishing. And what about those who compile this list of people to be banned from England? We were put on that list for our particular beliefs. Is that not correct? Well, by their own definition, shouldn't they be banned from their own country? Well, and by the way, did Reverend Wright make that list? Did Reverend Wright make that list? Is he banned from England? Was the mass murderer Kim Jong-il banned from England? My talk neither tolerates or encourages acts of violence, and yet it has been placed on the same level as those who have committed murder and acts of terrorism. And that shows you just how far England has fallen, and fallen, and fallen, and fallen. And we're going to talk about that today. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please hang up and don't listen to this program. Because if you don't read the web and if you don't know what's going on in the news, you are a person out of touch with reality. Many of my colleagues in the media have reacted with horror, some of whom are liberals. They're astonished, they're offended, they're frightened, they're angered. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's very hard to have faith in an age of cynicism, in an age of graphic realism. It's very hard to have faith. That's the truth. And no one's put it in exactly those words, and I'm good at that, the way I craft words. It's very hard to have faith in an age of cynicism and graphic realism. And I know men who say they go into church when, you know, when things go bad in their life, and they try to pray for God's intervention to help, and they don't feel anything. And that's true. How many times are you listening, you guys listening to the show, have been in church, and you hear the mumbo-jumbo, and you go along with it, and you want to believe, and you go for the kids, or you go for your mother, or you went for your whoever, someone died, you had to do it, but did you really feel anything? Or you go to a graveyard, and someone's dead, and they give the mumbo-jumbo, and, you know, you want to believe the resurrection, and do you actually believe it? Many of you do, but where do you draw your faith from is the question, to the people out there who are cynics. Upon what do you draw your faith? What do you draw your faith from? I mean, you're not like Jimmy Carter where you said you saw Jesus in your living room because they drank, you know, whatever that the acid was there. I don't know what. They actually said they saw it. Imagine he was president once. A guy who said that he had conversations with Jesus in his living room. I mean, do you remember that? What did they do with the snakes down there with Billy Beer and all of that? Remember that family, what we lived through? Billy Beer and strychnine. They tame snakes and drink strychnine. They fall on the floor. The next thing you know, they're in the White House. They put a suit on them. Unbelievable to me. We're in Carter 2 right now. It's a whole in Carter 2, only worse. This is the next incarnation. Where suddenly Barbara Lee, insignificant, nobody, radical anti-white congresswoman, is suddenly a stateswoman. She goes to Cuba. You hear this? Or Charles Schumer. Charles Schumer is now saying that, wait, you got to hear Charles Schumer, what I have for you. I don't know if I could play this for you. You got to listen to clip 20. Listen to this one.
There are three probably Republican moderates in the Senate, the hard right guys. They just believe in that hard right philosophy. They're not changing. But there are 10 or 12 what you'd call mainstream conservatives, people like Dick Lugar, who support his
Shut your pie hole for a minute. You say there are three moderate Republicans. Say there are 30 hard right guys. How many hard left gals and guys that are in the Democrat Party, Schumer? Why don't you level with us? Since you're part of the hard left faction in the Senate, how many of you are there, Schumer? Of the 50 Democrats, or the 53-4 Democrats, how many of you are hard left? And how many of you are moderate Democrats, huh? And how many of you are mainstream? But of course, as you well know, they just got a bailout from the U.S. government. Your taxpayer money went to Mr. Smelt of NBC. Mr. Smelt got a big bailout. So now Mr. Smelt pays back the Obama administration by putting MSLBGT on the air day and night and having the far left, hard left guys like Schumer on there. So you don't think I can't do politics in the Middle East? Believe me, I can do it.
Savage.
When I walk down the street, if people hear me talk, you know, one thing about radio that's good is they don't recognize you. The minute I talk, they say, oh, that must be Teddy, as they point to my dog. Teddy has taken on iconic status, my dog. Poor little guy. He's not here with me in the studio. He will be here in about an hour and a half. He will be arriving. Teddy will be entering the theater at an hour and a half. I'll let him bark on the air. He shall bark on the air. Went out boating yesterday on my own. Oh, it was a pleasure. Well, it was lonely. Let me put it to you that way. But lonely can be a pleasure compared to what the average person wants to talk about. You know, it's like if you're a certain kind of person, you don't know which way to turn. Solitude can be lonely, but at least you're not bored because you're inside your own head. And if you have a brain and you could think, you know, I look at the birds. Oh, I got to tell you this. That's what I was getting at, right? Because the week before I went out with eight people, all I wound up with was spilled soda, spilled beer, and spilled wine in my bilge. By accident, no one was drunk. Yesterday I went out alone, 20-ton boat, went out to the Brothers, short ride in the bay, but I mean, I love the birds. So I go to a little island called the Brothers, and one of the islands is, naturally it attracts seabirds. And here's what I noticed about the birds. It's political, by the way. Don't get nervous. Don't get itchy and turn the show off. This is very political. On this tiny outcropping of land, tiny little island, where only birds inhabit this little island, I noticed all of the seagulls stood in one place, all the pelicans roosted in another, all of the dark cormorants roosted in another. I said today's American colleges are very much like a bird island. Birds of a feather do flock together. Only the socialists want to make everyone flock together when really people don't want to. The truth is, birds of a feather flock together. It's a reality. It's the truth with people, too. You just don't want to accept reality. You know, communism, socialism, this kind of soft Marxism we're living through here wants to make the world in a new way. It won't exist. It can't happen. There is no such thing as the new man. There's only man. Now, that brings us to the man who will not cooperate with any other man, which is the radical Islamic man, sort of like the Piltdown man, or the Neanderthal of our time. I mean, the radical Islamic does not want to cooperate with anyone else. He wants you to be him. You're never going to make him into you, so why are you letting him in your country? Why do you let women walk around with full body coverings in a land of liberation? Why can't you say that it's illegal? It's an insult to women. It marks a woman as second class. You can't wear it here. It's a custom of slavery.
You're listening to an encore segment of the Savage Nation.
Among those excluded, two mint leaders of a violent Russian skinhead gang, a former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard and a neo-Nazi, but also a radio talk show host. Isn't that sort of suppressing freedom of speech in a sense?
Well, I have to say, this radio talk show host isn't your sort of Terry Wogan type character by any means. This is somebody who has fallen into the category of fomenting hatred, of such extreme views and expressing them in such a way that it's actually likely to cause inter-community tension or even violence if that person were allowed into the country.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore.
The names of some of those banned from entering the country because of fears their views will foster hatred or encourage violence have been released. Dan Shaw is our Home Affairs correspondent.
What may surprise some people is that on the list is a US radio shock doc, radio chat show host Michael Savage, who has professed views about a number of things, including rape, homosexuality, immigration. He's written widely a number of books, very popular, listen to American chat show host.
Here I am, a kid from Queens, New York, grew up reading Orwell, grew up reading Huxley, read 1984, read Brave in the World, read It Can't Happen Here, and here it is happening here. And look where it's happening. Look where it's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Savage banned from the United Kingdom because not because of my actions, but because of my views, my political views. Apparently, my show has been picked up in England because this came out in the British newspapers from the Daily Mail UK by James Slack. Talk show host to sue Home Office over link to neo-Nazis and Muslim preachers of hate and list of 22 banned from Britain. Let me read you the article. A U.S. radio presenter who was included on the Home Office's list of 22 people banned from entering the U.K. is suing the British government for defamation. Mike Savage told the San Francisco Chronicle that being included in such a crowd is no laughing matter, and he is now preparing legal action against Home Secretary Jackie Smith. And they quote me, "This lunatic is linking me up with Nazi skinheads who are killing people in Russia. She's putting me in a league with Hamas murderers who kill Jews on buses," he said. "I have never advocated violence. I've been on the air for 15 years. My views may be inflammatory, but they're not violent in any way," close quote. He said he has been defamed and endangered by the British government action. Quote, "She has painted a target on my back, linking me with people who are in prison for killing people," he said. "Does she not think people might hunt me down?" Savage said he has had no contact with the British government or with Smith's office and has no idea how he ended up on the Home Secretary's list, close quote. But you have to understand that your world has changed, as has mine. You may think this is only about me. You are wrong. It's about all of us. It's about every person in America who reads, any person in America who writes, any person in America who blogs, any person in America who speaks, any person in America who has a radio or television program. It is about all of us. The whole point of this is that it's about all of us. And that's why I say this story is not going to go away, unfortunately. I, again, will hold out a hand to this creature in the Home Office, who, by the way, by all polls, will be thrown out of office very soon, and I will sue her as a private citizen. I do not know if she is going to be protected by British law. We will find out very shortly. If not, I will sue her for defamation. But I will tell her that she has a chance right now to make right by me. If she will send a letter of apology to Michael Savage saying she was misinformed, if she will remove my name immediately from this list of individuals, I will consider removing my threat of a lawsuit. Otherwise, I will not stop until I am in a court of law in England and Home Secretary Jackie Smith, who will soon be private citizen Jackie Smith, has to face me and has to answer for what she has done to my reputation and my name. I have spent my entire life building my reputation. I have earned degrees from great universities. I have written over 25 books that have been published. I have saved many, many plants in rainforests. And I will not have some little twit in the British government defame my name unto infinity. I will defame her name. Her name will be darkened, not mine. I am a national treasure. You are a national disgrace. Now, I can take your calls in order to gain my breath, but I don't think I'm going to take your calls right now. I'm going to play There's No England Anymore while I catch my breath, and I'll be back in about 15 seconds. So start the music, guys. I have a lot more to say.
Of kings and days of old, but there's no England now.
There's no England now.
All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore. All the lies we were told, all the lives of the people running round their castles are burned. I see change, the inside.
It is the Savage Nation.
As we ever were.
Banned in Britain. Banned in Britain. There's a wonderful article written by Ben Shapiro, Savage's Badge of Honor, where he writes the following. He said the British government's decision to ban Michael Savage from entering the UK based on his political viewpoint and opposition to the global domination of Islamic Sharia law put Savage in the same company as Winston Churchill and Prime Minister Gordon Brown in the same company as Neville Chamberlain. Remember, Savage is the recipient of the Talkers Magazine 2007 Freedom of Speech Award. He is an ardent advocate for liberty and freedom and a leading opponent of global Islamofascism. During the 1930s, Neville Chamberlain pursued a policy of appeasement that brought Europe to its knees before Adolf Hitler. Even as Hitler planned his domination of the globe, the BBC banned Winston Churchill, Hitler's leading political opponent, from the radio. Even after the beginning of World War II, the BBC censored Churchill, considering him too inflammatory in his description of the Germans. Today, as Britain gradually kowtows to Islamofascism in the form of domestic acceptance of Sharia law and radical Muslim rallies, They seek to censor Michael Savage in the same way they censor Churchill. By placing Savage on the same list as representatives of Islamic terrorists and neo-Nazis, the Brown government has attempted to draw a moral equivalence between those groups that speak out against Chamberlain-esque appeasement of Islamofascism and the appeasers and Islamofascists themselves. This moral equivalence is utterly false, and worse, it is dangerous not only to free speech values, but to the continued freedom of the West against those who would seek to enslave it. Brown will be listed in the history books alongside Chamberlain as an appeaser of tyranny, and Savage will be listed alongside Churchill as an advocate of liberty. Today's Gordon Brown-led British government is an appeasement-oriented as its 1930s predecessor. According to the Telegraph just last week, the leader of the radical Islamofascist group Hizb ut-Tahrir held a rally in London in which he called on his followers to support jihad against Israel. 4 years ago, Tony Blair promised to ban another group from Britain. According to the Telegraph, last month, the British government led by Brown was forced under pressure to deny entry to Ibrahim Moussaoui. Until conservative opposition arose, the Brown government had been prepared to admit Moussaoui to speak at the University of London. Moussaoui describes suicide bombers as martyrs and calls Jews a lesion on the forehead of history. According to the Sunday Times, quote, Islamic law has been officially adopted in Britain, with Sharia courts given powers to rule on Muslim civil cases. The government under Brown has quietly sanctioned the powers for Sharia judges to rule on cases ranging from divorce and financial disputes to those involving domestic violence. Ben Shapiro goes on, considering the historical position of past liberal British administrations, radio personality Michael Savage finds himself in the best of historical company with Winston Churchill based on the position that the Gordon Brown government has taken towards Savage today, said a spokesman for Talk Radio Network. Winston Churchill claimed that in the years leading up to World War II, he was banned from the BBC for a period for up to 8 years. He was put into political exile where he was labeled an extremist at a time his voice and free speech was needed most. This attempt at marginalizing Savage and Savage's free speech is no less egregious than what Churchill experienced in the hands of Chamberlain's government. It simply validates how history does repeat itself when history's lessons are not learned by leaders of this modern age. TRN went on to say, the American way is sustained by the linchpin of freedom of speech. TRN's position, that's my syndicator, towards all of its hosts is that of the classical liberal who says, even though I may disagree with you completely, I will fight to the last breath to defend your right to speak freely. Sadly, the Brown government veers away from this, abandoning its principles and departing from the position of its own people. So, do you think this is my badge of honor? Do you think that the British government owes me an apology? I like to play a little bit of music, perhaps not Living on a Thin Line by the Kinks, which I love very much. How about any one of the others? God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols. Had it right. There is no future in England. They were the renegades. They were the outlaws in the music world, and they were attacked by that government. They saw what was coming in their own deranged, drug-infested minds. They sensed what was coming. And you liberals once sensed that fascism might appear its ugly head in the United States of America. You feared it, but little did you know that it was your head itself that you feared.
God take the queen, 'cause tourists are money.
Here's what I'm going to suggest you do. Go to michaelsavage.com, see the articles written on WND and all the other sites that are covering this story. Check out a copy of my new book, Savage Radio Story, Psychological Nudity, and send it to England to Jackie, the Home Office Secretary. Send her a copy of my book. Maybe it's One Arm Frank that she's afraid of.
Save the queen!
It is the politics of intimidation by the radical left. Here is a woman, the Home Office Secretary, who's enmeshed in a deeply embarrassing scandal at home, which you won't read about in any of the American newspapers, who are covering this, is that her husband apparently watched pornography at the government expense. You may say that's a small affair. It's not a small affair right now in England. It's a monster affair. And again, I am calling for this woman to remove my name from that list, saying she did never listen to my show, because apparently she hasn't. For the things she is saying about me, the things that are posted on the Home Office website, they are defamation. They are defaming my reputation and my name. She is saying that I have promoted violence. She is saying I caused the deaths of people. It is on the Home Office website. I will sue her personally. I will sue her personally. She has an opportunity right now to apologize, remove my name from that list. I will not stop until my name is cleared and her name is smeared. Now, who is this individual is the question. How in the world did a woman of this low caliber wind up as a mini dictator in the Home Office position is the real question. What kind of judgment does Gordon Brown have that he would permit this out of control Miss Smith to do such a thing? Now, she is known, if you want to read about this, Aaron Klein has written a great article on WorldNet Daily, which I'm not going to quote. She sought the tracking of emails. She sought the tracking of telephone calls in England. She has tried to redefine terrorism in ways that would be understood only by George Orwell. She wants internet firms, electronic communications to be monitored. She says her priority is to protect the citizens of the UK. Now, here we have liberals around the world who are attacking George Bush for having intercepted phone calls and emails amongst very few American people who are communicating with potential terrorists overseas, and they were rightly concerned about the loss of freedom of the First Amendment. But now we have a Home Secretary in England who is advocating intercepting a giant government, creating a giant government database to garner electronic communications made by all in Britain, according to this article. And there's not one word from the American left, not one word from those who claim that they care about freedom of speech. Among those that I am lumped with, and this should bring sadness to every Jew and every Christian listening to the show, is a man named Samir Kuntar, who was released from Israeli prison last year in an exchange with the Hezbollah terrorist organization. Kuntar was serving multiple life sentences for murdering three Israelis, including smashing to death a four-year-old girl with the butt of his rifle in front of his mother. In April of 22nd, 1979, this man led a group of four terrorists who entered Israel from Lebanon by boat. They murdered a policeman. The terrorists then raided an Israeli border town, broke into an apartment, and took hostage 28-year-old Danny Haran with his four-year-old daughter, Einat. The mother, Samda Haran, was able to hide in a crawl space above the bedroom with a two-year-old daughter, Yael, and a neighbor. The mother smothered her daughter to death while trying to mute her cries. Kuntar shot Danny Haran to death and then beat to death Haran's daughter with his rifle. This lowlife piece of garbage in England dares put my name on the same list as his?
Savage.
Lance in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, this is Giggles. Welcome to your gulag. Jeez.
Okay.
When did this all fall apart? I think it fell apart with mathematics. When the calculator came into being, no one had to think clearly anymore. Logic fell apart. Certain things like calculating the square root of a number, press a button. That's it. And nobody knows how to float the decimal.
I understand. No, there's a degree of truth in what you're saying, which is let the computer figure it out. I understand. I look at the Golden Gate Bridge every day. I drive over it, and I realize the men built it with slide rules. There were no computers being used in the 1930s. Think about it. Evil white males built the Golden Gate Bridge in 2 years with slide rules. You understand that, Lance?
Absolutely.
And now that we have diversity, they can't pave the roadway in less than 10. At cost overruns that have bankrupted both Marin County and San Francisco County. That's because of diversity and the lack of ability to add two and two with any degree of certainty. That's how I look at the world. I drive over the bridge and I marvel at it. It was built in about 2 years. And it was designed and engineered by men who used slide rules. Did you ever use a slide rule, Lance?
Absolutely. I had to take the course at the university.
Do you know, when I was in high school, I got a slide rule. My uncle had one. It looked like it was made of ivory. He was a small merchant, an antique dealer like my dad. And they got all sorts of interesting things. And a slide rule came in, and I loved it. It was in a leather case. It was standard for every young student to have one in those days. I didn't have one. I said, Uncle, can I please have this? And he always gave me whatever I asked for. I was very reluctant to ask him for anything. And great old Uncle Mo gave me the slide rule. I have it to this day as one of my prized possessions. They're not that easy to use, by the way, Lance. They're very, very difficult to use, but they built a slide rule. They built a bridge. They built the Empire State Building using slide rules. Amazing. And so today here we have Giggles the Clown, who's never met a payroll, trying to tell you that we need to incur more debt than that incurred from George Washington through George Bush in order to him to realize the Mao Tse-Tung vision for America.
Savage.
You know, you ever see what happens dogs do when you come home and you've been away for like a week? They're like the cats. Normally they're friendly. They roll over, you know, they lick you, you know, they play with. If you like ditch them even for a half a day, they're like girlfriend's dogs. They're like, oh, early boy, I'm not that interested. Excuse me. Come on, Teddy, come on in. Oh, not right now. Excuse me, I'm not feeling very good. I have a headache. And they, like, march off into the other room with their head up. Dogs are amazingly sensitive that way. I knew a guy who was in the Navy on an aircraft carrier. He'd have to send socks from the Philippines back to, like, Fayetteville, North Carolina, to his wife. But unwashed socks in a baggie.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore.
Who makes the final decision?
The final decision is made by me on the basis of advice that we gather from across government, looking at what we have set down as the criteria for unacceptable behaviour, fomenting or justifying or glorifying terrorism or serious crime or expressing views that are likely to cause intra-community tension in this country. So we've set down what those unacceptable behaviours are, and that we'll only lift that exclusion if you can positively demonstrate that you have turned your back on the actions or the attitudes that you had previously.
I think Jackie Smith should be deported from England because she's exhibiting the very thing she says that she's afraid of. She is causing inter-community tension. She has unacceptable behavior to any free citizen in the world, by the way. She is acting as a mini-dictator, saying that the decision of who to ban from the entire nation of Britain is made by herself. By herself. And that they'll only lift the exclusion if you can positively demonstrate you've turned your back on the actions or attitudes, thought control, that you had previously. Everything liberals said they oppose, they have become. And why do they not deport the folks at the London Central Mosque who claim they're going to overthrow the government and turn this once Christian nation into an Islamic caliphate? Listen to clip 14, right from the streets, recorded by Rusty Humphries in June of 07. I'm not making it up. Play it again.
We want Islam to be a source of governance for the whole of mankind. And we also believe that one day America will be ruled by Islam, because we have a prophetic tradition. You people believe in Jesus, and you people believe in prophecies. We also believe in prophecies. One of the prophecies of the Messenger Muhammad was that I will never come, i.e. the last day, which you also believe in, will never come until a group of the Muslims, they will rise and conquer the White House.
And this woman doesn't ban him. This woman doesn't deport him. This woman instead bans Michael Savage. And so it's the world of Humpty Dumpty. It's the world of Upside Down. And finally, perhaps some of you middle-of-the-road liberals, not you progressives, I've written you off a long time ago, but perhaps some of you liberals will finally come to understand the danger you yourself are in. Los Angeles, Brian, KGIL, welcome to the Savage Nation.
My wife just jumped out of her skin when she heard about this. She ran in and took one of the books, one of your books from the trilogy, that all the scouts are required to read for their citizenship in the nation, and she's going to send it to this gal. And I think we're going to write a couple of notes in there telling them how wonderful you are and how much we appreciate you.
Well, I'm officially barred from Great Britain, joining Muslim extremists, Russian murderers, etc. You find that offensive as well as shocking?
You bet I do. And I'm wondering if they're going to ban you from Canada also, to our wonderful neighbor to the north.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I didn't know that that was in the offering. We don't know. I actually don't care to go to Canada, but we'll have to wait and see. My concern here is what this does here in America. My concern is whether or not the liberals finally awaken to what's going on around them. But this is no laughing matter. Today it's me, tomorrow it's you. And remember, England is the land of the Magna Carta. And now it's become the land of the Mini Carta. And who put this list together? Why won't Smith not disclose the other six names who are banned from the country? Moreover, is Kim Jong-il on that list because he's allegedly killed over 1 million of his own fellow countrymen? Is Hugo Chavez on that list of banned people in England because he has driven at least 15 to 20,000 Jews out of his own nation because of his hate talk? This is crazy. Something's wrong with this picture. Now, you've been warned about the fairness doctrine. You've been told to expect a frontal assault on talk radio. But you haven't read The Art of War, have you? The Obama administration is much more clever than that. They would never institute the fairness doctrine as a direct assault because you could nail them for what they are. Instead, they're doing it in this way. Instead, they're doing it in that way. Instead, they're going to do it in ways you could never imagine. That is the art of war, my friends. And make no mistake about it, we are facing an enemy that we have never faced in this nation before. Sun Tzu knew what the art of war was. And, of course, those who put this unknown senator into the White House, a man with no experience whatsoever, who is now running banks, financial institutions, automobile companies, and God knows what else tomorrow, what he might do tomorrow is anyone's guess. But whoever is controlling Obama is behind this, in my opinion. Something is wrong with this picture. Chicago, Mike, welcome to the program.
I think you hit the nail right on the head, Dr. Savage. I think it was somebody from the United States that gave them your name, and I think that you should be very aware of who's going to be backstabbing you in the future when and if you leave the country. They might try to do the same thing to you here and ban you, for even though you're a citizen. Banning you for hate speech or whatever malarkey they're going to come up with.
Well, they can't do that as easily in this country, can they? We have a First Amendment. The English do not have the First Amendment. You know that, Mike?
No, I didn't realize.
I don't think people understand that. We are protected by the First Amendment. They are not. They don't have such protections. But there's something in reverse that's in my favor. Defamation laws in America are very, very difficult to win. It's very difficult to win an defamation lawsuit in America. Extremely difficult. On the reverse, it's very easy to win a defamation lawsuit against a citizen in England. Their laws are totally different when it comes to defamation. Do you think this woman has defamed me by linking me with murderers? Do you think this woman has defamed me by putting me on a list of banned individuals for my thoughts and my speech as opposed to my actions? Well, if you do, then you agree with me. I believe that the Home Secretary of England either owes me an apology, takes my name off the list, or I'm going to sue her personally as a private citizen when she leaves office. And I don't know whether or not she is going to be protected after she is out of office from a defamation lawsuit, but I can guarantee you one thing. I will sue her until the last day on earth to prove that she, in fact, is the individual who the English should be afraid of, not me. Victorville, California. Grace, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'm a first-time caller, and I am just seething. It's unimaginable to me how there is such a strong effort to stifle the First Amendment freedom of speech, which is what you are all about.
I have been deluged with requests for interviews. And this should transcend all political beliefs. America right now has to come together. This should be the spark that unites America, not disunites America. You should come to understand the danger we are in when we let such minuscule minds take away the very freedoms that your ancestors died for. And thank God the United States of America was created specifically to get away from these midget brains over there in England. But this is a repetition of history, is it not? This is exactly what went on in England in the 1930s, just as Hitler was taking over one European nation after another. They had a leader who was appeasing him. The leader was named Neville Chamberlain. And they banned the one Briton who opposed Hitler. That is the most prominent Briton in the opposing Conservative Party, Winston Churchill. They would not let Churchill speak in the House of Parliament. They said he is speaking in evil ways or whatever about the Germans and the German people, and they wouldn't let him speak. And I don't have to tell you what happened soon thereafter. We are at war, ladies and gentlemen, and either you understand that you are at war, whether you want to be or not, and you decide which side to take, lightness or darkness, or you will descend, and I will descend with you into 1,000 years of darkness. That is where we are today in America. Oh, today it's Michael Savage, but tomorrow who will it be? Tell me who it will be tomorrow. Do you want to go into 1,000 years of darkness? I certainly don't. But if you leave me out here alone, twisting in the wind, you may be next, or someone that you admire on another side of the political spectrum could be on the list tomorrow because they fall in disfavor with a government. Don't you understand that? And so you have to do the right thing. I don't know what it is you want to do or what it is you have to do. I'll leave that to you. But this is a very, very, very dangerous time in the history of this country. And look where the threat is coming from. It's coming from England itself, our so-called father country, the country that this nation had such great relations with for so many years, has now become, what shall I say, a trustworthy partner in the war on terror, when they've taken the side of terrorism itself? Don't you see what's going on here? Okay, I'll take the callers on the Savage Nation. Again, the phone number is 1-800-449. What we are talking about is the fact that I am the only American on that list in the media. Michael Savage, radio host, banned from the United Kingdom for my views, not for my actions. Notice what is going on here. I have been banned from the United Kingdom because of my views. That is thought control, my friends. The thought police are operational right now. How is that possible? Because you don't like what I have to say? Well, I will remind you that the First Amendment protects what I have to say and protects what you have to say, and I'll have to say to you again. The whole point of the First Amendment was to protect offensive speech, not polite speech. Polite speech does not need protection. Who is going to oppose it? It is offensive speech that needs protection. That is what it was written for. It was written so that the new America could give its citizens the freedom to speak out against government officials who would try to take away their freedoms. The First Amendment was written so that Americans would have the courage to stand up to any emerging tyranny in America that started to look like the very England that America broke away from. And so you must be very, very careful which side you take in this discussion. In fact, I would hope that the people who oppose my viewpoints most would support me now most. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So you have radical Islamists in the heart of England who this vermin will not throw out of the country. They're very brave when it comes to American talk show hosts, but how come these wonderful, brave British politicians in the Labour Party have nothing to say when it comes to those within their own midst who are threatening to destroy their own nation? It's very interesting I looked into what this lunatic is talking about. Apparently, entry would be denied me under the EU law, under the Regulation 19 of the Immigration Regulations of 06, which allows a member state to refuse entry to individuals if they are regarded as constituting a threat to public policy. Did you hear this? A threat to public policy. So that means any minor bureaucrat, any apparatchik such as this lowlife, can say, well, you're a threat to my public policy. You can't come into my country. This is astounding, ladies and gentlemen, to ban a person for their speech when apparently this woman has never listened to my show. My show is not broadcast in England. When has the Home Secretary of England listened to the Savage Nation? And which particular show has she listened to? Something is wrong with this picture. I believe this is coming from somebody in the United States government rather than from England itself. But again, I want to remind you, if you're a new listener to my show, and many of you are now listening for the first time around the world, that you can hear this show on the internet, or you can see what I'm about by going to michaelsavage.com. Why don't you look at some of my books and read them for yourself and see if they pose a threat to the safety or order, or whether it promotes inter-community tension or such. Inter-community tension. Isn't that interesting? I would believe that Jackie Smith is promoting inter-community tension with this ban. The fact of the matter is, this is a very, very strange woman indeed. She has tried to restrict the word terrorism in her career, and I'll tell you more about this when I come back to this subject. But I'd like to hear what you have to say about Michael Savage being banned from entering the United Kingdom based on my political viewpoints and my opposition to the global domination of Islamic Sharia law. I guess it puts me in the same company as Winston Churchill, and I guess it puts Prime Minister Gordon Brown in the same company as Neville Chamberlain. You see, Michael Savage, myself, received the Talkers Magazine 2007 Freedom of Speech Award. Did you know that? Did you know that I'm an ardent advocate for liberty and freedom and the leading opponent of global Islamofascism? Did you know that during the 1930s, Neville Chamberlain pursued a policy of appeasement that literally brought Europe to its knees before Adolf Hitler? Did you know that, according to Winston Churchill, the BBC banned Winston Churchill, Hitler's leading political opponent, from the radio? Did you know that after the beginning of World War II, the BBC censored Churchill? They considered him too inflammatory in his description of the Germans? Well, here we are again. Here we are again. This is the world that we have inherited. Hindi in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR.
Michael, I am furious, I am seething, I am beyond words, almost. Let me just tell you a couple of things. Firstly, I'm an Orthodox Jew living in New York. I've been living in this country for 25 years, and I am proud to say I'm an American citizen. And there's a reason why I became an American citizen. It's because I don't want to be British. I go back to see my family. They treat you. This is ridiculous. This is outrageous. Did you know, by the way, that Jackie's husband was made public that he tried to bill the House of Commons for adult movies that he'd rented? And he wanted.
No, I saw some of the scandals. But tell me about this Jackie Smith herself. She can't be a very popular figure in England.
I don't think anybody is very popular in the British government. My mother and I talk politics a lot. By the way, my mother is a fan of yours when she comes and visits.
All right, Hindi, I appreciate your support. I know that you're upset right now. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's take the calls not only from New York, from around the nation, anyone in San Francisco, New York, Texas, Oklahoma. I'd even take callers out of England itself. Jackie Smith, you're invited to call. You have a very big mouth when it comes to going on the BBC, which you apparently own through your friendships. Jackie Brown, if you're listening to this show on the internet while your husband may be listening to something of another nature or watching something of another nature in the other room, Jackie, why don't you dial 1-800-449-8255, and we, of course, will pick up the bill.
Seven.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
I'm going to devote a little time now to a very, very important book by Sinclair Lewis called It Can't Happen Here. This book was written during the last Depression, in fact, just before the last Depression is when it came out, or during the middle of it, and copyrighted 1935. I wouldn't waste your time, but I'm not going to waste your time, because you must hear what Sinclair Lewis wrote. Now, I want to remind you, Sinclair Lewis was a socialist. He projected a future America where a right-wing government would take over the country. You hear? Where a right-wing government would take over the country. And he, in his fiction, It Can't Happen Here, Sinclair Lewis wrote, the 15 points of victory for the forgotten men written by the Democrat candidate for the United States President, Buzz Windrip. And I'm going to summarize some of these 15 points. During the very first week of his campaign, Senator Windrip clarified his philosophy by issuing his distinguished proclamation, the 15 points of victory for the forgotten men. Now, I want to remind you, this is a fiction written in 1935 about what would happen to America if a right-winger took over the country. One, all finances in the country, including banking, insurance, stocks and bonds and mortgages, shall be under the absolute control of a federal central bank owned by the government and conducted by a board appointed by the president, which board shall, without need of recourse to Congress for legislative authorization, be empowered to make all regulations governing finance. Two, the president shall appoint a commission equally divided between manual workers, employers, and representatives of the public to determine which labor unions are qualified to represent the workers. Number three, after the revolution, in contradistinction to the doctrines of red radicals, now remember, this was a projection of what would happen should a right-winger take over the government. In contradistinction to the doctrines of red radicals with their felonious expropriation of the arduously acquired possessions which ensure to aged persons their security, this league and party will guarantee private initiative and the right to private property for all time. Four, believing that only under God Almighty, to whom we render all homage, do we Americans hold our vast power, we shall guarantee to all persons absolute freedom of religious worship, provided, however, that no atheist, agnostic, believer in black magic, nor any Jew who shall refuse to swear allegiance to the New Testament, nor any person of any faith who refuses to take the pledge to the flag, shall be permitted to hold any public office or to practice as a teacher, professor, lawyer, judge, or as a physician, except in the category of obstetrics. Five, annual net income per person shall be limited to $500,000. No accumulated fortune may at any one time exceed $3 million per person. No one person shall, during his entire lifetime, be permitted to retain an inheritance or various inheritances in total exceeding $2 million. All incomes or estates in excess of the sums named shall be seized by the federal government for use in relief and administrative expenses. Shall I go on? I can go on. Congress shall have the sole right to issue money, and immediately upon our inauguration it shall at least double the present supply of money in order to facilitate the fluidity of credit. Did you hear any of this? Are you listening to me? Or you didn't hear this morning on the Blowhard show, so you don't know what you're listening to. Are you realizing what's going on here? Here it is. I'll read this to you from page 69, written in 1935. They realized that this country has gone so flabby that any gang daring enough and unscrupulous enough and smart enough not to seem illegal can grab hold of the entire government and have all the power and applause and salutes, all the money and palaces and will and women they want. They're only a handful. But just think how small Lenin's gang was at first, and Mussolini's, and Hitler's, and Kemal Pasha's, and Napoleon's. You'll see all the liberal preachers and modernist educators and discontented newspapermen and farm agitators, maybe they'll worry at first. But they'll get caught up in the web of propaganda like we all were in the Great War, and they'll all be convinced that even if our president maybe has got a few faults, he's on the side of the plain people and against all the tight old political machines, and they'll rouse the country for him as the great liberator. Did you hear any of this? But will Americans stand for it long, whimpered Emma? Oh, no, not people like us, the descendants of the pioneers. Oh, no, it can't happen here. Shall I repeat to you that it has happened here? Shall I repeat to you who has done this? Are you recognizing the fact that Sinclair Lewis, although he was frightened of a future government taken over by the right wing, did not even see himself as the prophet he was, and that this country would be taken over by a gang of left-wingers, the Obama gang? Are you aware of the fact that the country has been taken over by a gang? a daring gang, an audacious gang, the audacity of revolution. An audacious gang has taken over America. And there they are, ladies and gentlemen, printing money as though they own it, taxing the people who earn the money, and making deals with communists around the world under the guise of peace and freedom. Now, I want you to take the arc of what Obama has done so far and project it ahead 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years, and ask yourself, if this man is not stopped, what this country will look like, what your family will look like, and whether your freedoms will be intact in 3 or 4 years unless this man is opposed at every turn. There was a British newspaper that published Obama's 10 strongest critics. They said Michael Savage is amongst them, and they quoted one thing I said. They quoted me correctly. They said the following. Michael Savage says that Obama has never heard anyone say no to him ever since his boyhood in Hawaii. As a result, he has a messianic complex, and he continues to do things that are disconnected from reality that simply aggrandize more and more power to himself. They got it right. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Chicago, Anthony, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I do not understand why the media fears you so much. Over the weekend, I listened to two radio stations where the callers...
Well, C-SPAN is run by a twerp by the name of Brian Lamb, who is a front for the Democrat establishment. Brian Lamb is an evil little man who exists only on taxpayer money. Brian Lamb runs C-SPAN, and the, let us say, left of center, anytime they had an intellectual dissident who was a giant, they simply made believe that intellectual giant who was a dissident didn't exist. They blacked that name out from the newspapers, they blacked that name out from the media, and eventually they put those names on a list, and they took those people away and put them into the Gulag Archipelago. So I'm in very good company. That a twerp like Brian Lamb would bleep my name out and you would hear it indicates just what a threat I am to them. Now, the second question, the more important, is why am I a threat to them? Isn't that the real question?
Well, we know why, because like you said before, your voice rings a truth that can't be denied. And this, the media is so terrified of you because they know that you can make such a difference. You are making such a difference.
Well, they know I stand for certain things, which they oppose. I stand for firm borders, English as the national language, and the cultural bedrock that this country was built upon, borders, language, culture. They stand for the opposite. They stand for open borders, they stand for multiple languages, and they stand for no culture other than the statist culture. So I am their natural enemy. They also understand that I'm probably the, well, let's put it to you this way, amongst the most articulate in the media. They could never challenge me directly. If I had Brian Lamb on this show, I would chop him up to pieces. He wouldn't even fit back into his size 3 shoes when I got through with him.
Well, Dr. Savage, I have to say that I think...
Let me tell you something. A year ago, I was granted the Freedom of Speech Award by the talk radio industry, as you may know. And I gave a very important speech that they refused to run. And they refused to run it because I was already on their Stalinist list of non-persons. That did not stop multiples of 10,000s of people from buying those copies of my Freedom of Speech Award. And I'm going to send you one right now, Anthony. Stay in the line. Stay in the line. Anthony gets a free copy of each award. Mississippi James, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'd love to know why you seem to hang all the present problems on the Obama administration and the Democrats and liberals when I feel like both parties are equally culpable in this mess we're in, and I wish...
Oh, well, we've heard that before. You must be a new listener, and you probably didn't hear me criticizing George Bush for 7.5 years.
Oh, no, sir. I've listened to you for years.
Well, last year I called George Bush a fiscal socialist, did I not?
You did that.
All right, so don't accuse me of being partisan in this manner. However, the magnitude of socialism has been amped up to a point of no return under Obama. How in the world can you justify $2.2 trillion in spending without disclosing who got that money, unless you're a gangster?
Oh, I don't, sir. It's awful.
All right. We have a gang that took over America, but they're a very clever, cunning gang. They're not acting like a gang, are they?
No, they're not.
Well, they are. They're acting like a gang, only they're pretending to be nice guys. quote, we can go back to the Dark Ages. The crust of learning and good manners and tolerance is so thin. It would just take a few thousand big bombs to wipe out all the eager young men in all the libraries and historical archives and patent offices, all the laboratories and art galleries, all the castles and Periclean temples and Gothic cathedrals, all the cooperative stores and motor factories, every storehouse of learning. No inherent reason why your grandchildren, if anybody's grandchildren will survive at all, shouldn't be living in caves and heaving rocks at catamounts. Sinclair Lewis, it can't happen here. My friends, it is happening here.
Savage.
This is coming from one individual in England named Jackie Smith. She took credit for this list. Do you have that interview where she's asked who compiled the list? Play that for a moment.
Who makes the final decision?
The final decision is made by me on the basis of advice
that
we gather.
So this little tin pot dictator, Jackie Smith, took it upon herself to lump me in with child killers and mass murderers and such. But she's extremely unpopular right now in England, because the London's Daily Mail referred to Smith's strategy on radical Islam as attempting to portray Islamic terrorists as nothing more than cold-blooded murderers who are not fighting for any religious cause, which, of course, as you know, is false. There was a huge public outcry over her proposal to change the language regarding Islamofascism, and Smith dropped a plan to allow the police to monitor and store in government databases information on citizens' internet use and email messaging. Did you hear this? This woman who has banned me from England on her own. She dropped a plan to allow the police to monitor and store in government databases information on citizens' internet use and email messaging. So that's the kind of individual this is. She is an anti-liberal, as any liberal would understand. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I have those of you who are into the good news, bad news thing, or in every cloud there is a silver lining. I have a strategy as well. We got the address of Jackie Smith. We put it up on michaelsavage.com. Jackie Smith, Home Office Direct Communications Unit, 2 Marsham Street, London, Southwest 1P4DF. Send copy of Psychological Nudity to the woman who banned Savage from the UK. So go buy an autographed copy, or actually you get a picture of Michael and Teddy, my tenant. I wonder if my dog would be banned as well if I appeared at Heathrow with Teddy, the 10-pound poodle. I wonder if he'd be considered potentially to incite kennels, inter-kennel anxiety or something like that. And send it to her. Maybe something in the book will bring this poor woman to her senses, and she will send me an apology, remove my name from the list, and I will consider not suing her. It's possible she doesn't actually know what I've written. It's possible she doesn't actually know what I've said. Because if you read the Home Office website, it says that I've actually caused the deaths of individuals. You've got to understand that this is defamation by any definition. I want to remind all of my listeners and the new listeners to the Savage Nation that I am an immigrant's son. I am a radio star in the United States of America. I am not on a dozen stations. I'm on over 300 stations. I hold a master's degree in medical botany and a master's in medical anthropology. I have an earned PhD from the University of California at Berkeley in epidemiology and nutrition sciences. I am the author of over 25 books and ardent conservationist. I am dedicated to my family and my nation. To learn more about the author, go to michaelsavage.com. This can't be real. And being comedic to a certain extent and being able to react sometimes to terrible things with humor, I immediately thought, darn, I won't be able to continue to go. I won't go to England this summer to experience their great medical and dental care. But then the shock wore in, and I realized who they lumped me in with and how dangerous this is and how defaming it is. And I considered legal action against Britain's top security official. And I called several top First Amendment attorneys who are now researching this question of whether or not she is potentially sued. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'll find out very soon, tomorrow and the next day, from my attorneys, and I will inform you what my strengths are and whether or not I have a case. But I will not let it go. This has defamed me. Aida in New York City on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. As a Cuban-American, I just want to express my support and stand in solidarity with you. I may not always agree with what you say, but I certainly support 100% your right to say it. You are, it's sad and it's ironic because I think you are one of our most passionate and outspoken denouncers of totalitarianism.
You know, it's interesting. She put a list of people banned from the UK. Is Reverend Wright on that list? After all, Reverend Wright espoused hatred. He created intercommunity anxiety, did he not?
Is Louis Farrakhan?
Shall I play Reverend Wright's hate speech for you again so that perhaps they can pick it up in England? Was that not transmitted in England? Obama's a preacher who for 20 years espoused nothing but hatred in his church in Chicago. Is he on the hate list? Is Kim Jong-il on the hate list, the man who has allegedly caused the death of a million of his fellow countrymen through starvation and torture and death camps? Is he on the list? Is Hugo Chavez on the list, the man who's driven two-thirds of the Jewish community out of his country? Why is that being swept under the rug? Has Jackie Smith put any of these individuals on the list? Has Fidel Castro been put on the list? I mean, you talk about being Cuban. Is Fidel Castro a friend of the First Amendment? Is Fidel Castro a friend of freedom?
Aida? He's a friend of terrorism, and he supports terrorism all the way around the world. And it's very
well. I wonder, is he on this list, or is it only radio talk show hosts who are not knuckling under to the PC establishment? Okay. I'll keep taking your calls. Fairbanks, Alaska. Jeff, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I'm a proud liberal. And I defend to the death your right to say what you got to say.
Well, but you see, you're a real liberal. I'll bet you're over 50.
I am, sir.
See, but that's the difference, Jeff. The fact of the matter is, you are last of the Mohegans in the liberal world, Jeff. Most of them would not stand with me, never mind to the death. They would like to throw me to the wolves, Jeff. Because they say that they don't like what I say, and I have no right to say it, Jeff. They've lost a complete understanding of their own nation and the foundation of the nation. This nation, Jeff, as you know, was founded in opposition to this very type of thinking that we're seeing coming out of England today, Jeff.
I quite agree, sir.
Jeff, let me send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity, because I believe of all the callers I've had today, you're the one person I'd like you to have it for free. 1-800-44. Oh, I got a very humorous email. A cruise ship company, that if only I could find it, I would be consider myself a happy man for the moment. I don't want to misquote the gentleman, but you have to hear. It's one line. It's very funny. Hold on. Dear Michael Savage, just a thought about Great Britain. I am more than happy to facilitate a New York to London transatlantic cruise and conference to test the backbone of the heterophobic, pro-Islamic, anti-Judeo-Christian, pseudo-tolerant Brits. Maybe we can add Daniel Hanan as a special guest speaker to stick the government in a real catch-22. Hope you are doing well. And that comes to me from Sovereign Cruises. It would be very interesting if I had, let's say, 1,500 individuals on a Michael Savage Freedom of Speech tour to England, and the ship was not permitted to dock at Southampton. Do you think the Brits would turn away all that money? Do you think the Brits would turn away all of that foreign currency? It'd be very interesting to see if we could sort of repeat history in a way when a ship from Europe filled with Jews was turned away from New York City. It'd be very interesting to show the world what Britain has fallen to.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Let me see.
listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
If people have so clearly overstepped the mark in terms of the way, not just that they're talking, but the sort of attitudes that they're expressing, to the extent that we think that this is likely to cause...
Oh, shut your snotty mouth, you lowlife, you. You gutter snipe. Get her off my show. She is now sitting as God and judge of people's attitudes as to who should be allowed in England. I don't understand how you English people have allowed a government of this low ilk to have achieved such power. It's astounding to me. And this doesn't make sense. But my producer has gone on to the Home Office website, and you're not going to believe what they said about me. It says, controversial daily radio host, Michael Savage, considered to be engaging in unacceptable behavior by seeking to provoke others to serious criminal acts and fostering hatred which might lead to inter-community violence? I have never provoked others to serious criminal acts. The exact opposite is true. I have spoken out against those who provoke and promote serious criminal acts. This is a lie. This is a smear. This is defamation. The fact of the matter is, this woman has defamed me. She also, on her website, and I want you to listen to this carefully if you're an attorney. This is on their website. It says, a controversial daily radio host who provoked others to commit crimes. This is defamation. And if she does not retract this, if she does not offer me an apology, if I am not taken off that list immediately, I will sue her personally the minute she leaves office, the minute she is thrown out of office. I will sue her for every penny she is worth for defamation. And the only thing anyone ever understands in this world is the law. I live in a nation of laws, and so does she. She cannot simply shoot off at the mouth like this, put a target on my back, and expect me not to fire back. New York, Al, WOR, go ahead, please.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I don't think this is as much about England as it's about England doing the Obama administration a favor. And that favor is they're beginning to take the first salvo of going after talk radio. They've selected you to be the one that they're going to go after in terms of trying to get you off the air and censor you, and that they've called across...
Wait, this happened in England, though, not in America.
Yes, but I think the Obama administration is the one who started it, the one who called across there, and all they're doing is acquiescing to their to the Obama administration and what the Obama administration wants. And what
so you think that the Obama administration did this in order to set the stage for doing it here?
Yes, and you're the one that was targeted, and they're actually going to play a tag team here. What's going to happen is they're going to now say, look how dangerous Michael Savage is. He's so dangerous that the English now won't let him into the country. And they're going to backdoor the fairness doctrine, and you're going to be the first one they're after.
Well, they can try that. Again, we live in a nation of laws where there are different laws than they have in England. Again, the First Amendment protects me in that all they are saying about me is untrue. It is all false. And so if it's only a matter of perception, then therefore we are dealing with the issue of thought crime. We are dealing with the issue of thought crimes, which certainly don't exist in this country, or do they? I mean, if thought was a crime in America, we'd all be in prison. Isn't that right?
I think that talk radio is the only opposition left in the media to the Obama administration, and they're going to try to stifle it, and they picked you as the first example.
All right. Well, it's an honor roll, I suppose, on a certain level. But on the other hand, it's not something I had expected in my senior years. I'll have to deal with it. The question is, will they ban you too next? Will you be next? Today it's Michael Savage. Tomorrow it's someone else. And I'd like to know who the other six are. I'd like to know why this creature, Jackie Smith, won't list the other six. I'd like to know how she could put me on the same list as a Hamas murderer who was just released from an Israeli jail after 10 years for having smashed in the head of a Jewish child in front of his mother with a rifle butt. To put me on the same list as a Russian, two leaders of a Russian gang who served more than a decade in Russian prisons for racially based murders of 19 people? Is this not defamation? Think about this. Think about this lunatic in England putting me on the same list. Think about it and get back to me. Houston, Texas, David, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, this Bolshevik from Britain, she's a blessing to you, Michael, because it's like discovering cancer or an infestation in your house or a president like ours who sends the bust of Winston Churchill back to the Britons. That was a gift to our country, and he throws it back on them. Until you discover that cancer or that infestation, you can't address it. And now you can wrap your hands around it, and the monster's shown its head.
Well, that would be very fine if we had a government that was interested in the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. My third reaction was, I'm going to try to have a First Amendment attorney call Eric Holder, my attorney general, whose views I disagree with, and say to him as an American citizen, I want you, Eric Holder, to defend me. I want you to go after the British government and make them remove my name from that list and send me a letter of apology.
Savage.
Secretary Jackie Smith has said that the reason you were banned is because the things that you say foment hatred, engaging people in spreading hatred as well. What do you say to the reasons behind the ban?
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. There are millions of people who agree with me, not only in America but around the world. Now, you can take sound bites from an individual and turn them into anything you want. But if you actually listen to what I said about these things, it might be a different individual that you're hearing. I don't know which show Jackie heard or when she heard it, but I'm not broadcast in England. So obviously she was given some selected sound bites by individuals who detest my points of view and are trying to skewer me. That's not freedom of speech, nor is that fair.
Hip, hip, hooray. I've always been an Anglophile. I've always liked the English people. Not as much as the Irish people, but I've always liked the English people. Let's put it to you that way. But from the time I first arrived in the Fiji Islands back in the late 60s to collect plants, and my ship docked at the port in Suva, and I heard a local rendition of, Hail Britannia, I've been moved to look into the history of this great nation. And to think that this great nation has fallen to such a low level that a woman of obscure accomplishment, we can find nothing she has written, nothing she has ever created that would be of any note, to think that a woman of such obscure credentials would take a great nation that has stood for liberty and reduce it to this is amazing. There was an article today by Ed West that says, not all Brits are whiny liberals, Michael Savage. And he says, what's the definition of a racist? A conservative winning an argument. What's the definition of, quote, such extreme views and expressing them in such a way that it is actually likely to cause inter-community tension or even violence, close quote. Ditto. Jackie Smith has banned American radio host Michael Savage from Britain, further evidence that the ideology of easily offended liberalism, often known by that overused expression political correctness, is a danger to freedom. He then goes on to say, I'm not against banning people from this country, but there's a difference between banning men who incite violence and those who simply have views liberals find offensive. A big difference. Savage's views are well known, but they are views which every free man in every free country has the right to express. But that's exactly the point, he says, about all our new terror laws. We could quite easily neuter the threat of extremism with stricter immigration laws and deporting even British-born extremists like Ajem Choudhury, but that would mean Britain being branded as Islamophobic, and our government is genuinely scared of Islam. Far easier to usurp our long-held freedoms and implement anti-terror laws that can be used against ordinary citizens. What must the Americans who inherited our political freedoms and built a great nation out of them think of Britain today, he writes. We're a joke. Mr. Savage, I can only apologize and offer you some belated British hospitality. If you do ever manage to sneak in, come to dinner with me and my wife in Haringey. I won't tell the neighbors. Hear, hear. Now, that's the Britain that I believe still exists behind the Iron Curtain, by the way. I have received, in addition to articles written in the British press, wonderful blogs, wonderful articles in America. Very, very few people are supporting this Martinet lunatic in England. I found out who my friends are. I found out who my friends are not here in the United States of America. And I would like to read you another letter from an individual who I have never met. And I will leave his name out of it. Also, before you jump to conclusions or don't know what I'm going to do this hour, yesterday before the program, I did an interview with BBC Television, another one with CNN. Most of you probably didn't see the BBC one because you live in America. Some of you may have seen the interview on CNN, which I thought was fairly good. You can judge for yourself whether or not they did a fair job. Again, anyway, you know what? Judge for yourself. Letter to the British Home Office came to me, and I'm leaving the gentleman's name out of this. Dear sir or madam, I am a British national, he writes. I currently reside in blank California in the United States as a green card holder and have lived here for 11 years. In the 11 years as a resident of California, I listen to Dr. Michael Savage every day if possible. I can categorically state that I agree with every opinion, belief, and notion of Dr. Savage has expressed through his radio show, written word, and articles. I have made financial donations to his Freedom of Speech Legal Fund and will continue to do so. I am a practicing Catholic who strongly believes in the right to bear arms under the United States Constitution, although I am not permitted to own a firearm under U.S. law as a resident alien. I'm a member of the RNC. I am a strong anti-abortion advocate and have attended many protests outside abortion clinics. I am totally opposed to illegal immigration here in the U.S. and in the United Kingdom. It is my belief that there is a faction of fanatical Muslims inciting violence in the U.K. who wish to overthrow the government of Great Britain. I strongly object to liberalism and oppose the Labour government and the Democratic government of the United States. As a result of Dr. Michael Savage's ban on entering the U.K. due to being put on a, quote, least wanted list by the Home Secretary, I would like to know if the British government will revoke my passport and deny me entry to the U.K. due to my affiliation with Dr. Savage, as my thoughts and beliefs are aligned with his. I demand an immediate response to my inquiry and furthermore demand the resignation of the incompetent Home Secretary with a stipulation of a written apology on behalf of the British people to Dr. Savage. I will be making a financial contribution to Dr. Savage's legal fund in the lawsuit of defamation against Jackie Smith, and I will, of course, leave the individual anonymous. Not all Brits are whiny liberals. Savage demands apology from UK. Another article, Jackie Smith's latest disaster from the London Daily Mail. The letter from America I just read to you. The next article from CNS News is, UK minister who blacklisted Savage may lose her post. Hawaii lawmakers back the creation of Islam Day. I don't understand this. It's beyond comprehension. A few lawmakers in Hawaii objected and said they didn't want to honor a religion connected to 9/11. Can you believe this? And, of course, from the Associated Press, here she comes, Saudi's Miss Beautiful Morals. Sukaina al-Zair is an unlikely beauty queen hopeful. She covers her face and body in black robes and an Islamic veil, so no one can tell what she looks like. If you women don't understand the danger you are in from the knot that is tightening around the West, I suggest that you throw away your pointy shoes and your ecstasy and put your head onto something other than orgasms and pointy shoes, because you're liable to wind up in your lifetime wearing a full body covering unless you join with Americans who are standing up to this tyranny of political correctness. Pardon me. When I was a kid in the 1950s in New York City, a murderer was a murderer, a rapist was a rapist, period, end of story. You were caught killing a cop, you were given the electric chair within a year. Here in Oakland, California, you can kill four cops and you'll get invited to City Hall and be given a key to the United Kingdom. New York City, WOR. Matt, welcome to the Savage Nation.
What I find really funny is just the whole strategy behind the left. I mean, it's the worst thing you can do in business is market for the other company. That's exactly what they've done, because prior to this week, you weren't a fixture in the daily news and the local news or the national news. And now they've put you out there and they've put you on a national stage, which is going to allow your
Matt, listen, this the reason I became an international incident is very interesting. It's not that I was banned. It was who I was lumped in with. Even the British were shocked to see this. Even the British liberal establishment said this is insanity. They finally saw the madness of their own nation.
But you said that it came from America. That's where
I don't know where it came from. We may find out where it came from eventually. I don't know whether this list, inclusion of Michael Savage on this list came from somewhere in the Obama administration or through other sources. I don't know yet. But we're going to try to find out, Matt.
Use this strategy once already, and by using this strategy, it just really, it makes you, like I said, it increases your market share. It makes you more important. It has more.
All right, I understand that, but listen, here's what I think happened. Jackie Smith, they want to ban certain radical Islamists from England.
Savage.
Hot day, July, Coca-Cola, icebox, outside, grocery store. They call them bodegas, then they became clubs. You fished in the bottom of the Coca-Cola box. They had ice in it that turned to water, and your arm turned blue as you fished around for a soda, that kind of day. And the Undertaker's there. My father was busy working in the back of his little shop making a lamp or cleaning. I don't know what he was doing. He wired a lot of statues into lamps, and he was busy doing that. Hot day, I'm outside, so I ask him what's going on in the mortuary down there. You know, it was a funeral parlor, but they performed embalming. They did embalming. So he said, well, would you like to see what goes on? I said, okay, sure. So get in the elevator, and you get it. It was one of those elevators like in lofts where you pull a big cord from the top like a Godfather elevator they move cars on. And to this day, I can hear the hum of that elevator, the motor. And I'm going down this huge car elevator into the basement, the subterranean depths of a funeral parlor. We get down there, walk into the and there's a doctor performing an autopsy. No, it wasn't an autopsy. Sorry, this was the embalming story. And okay, that's it. So there it is. Now I come back up in the street. Must have been a half an hour later. My father's in the undershirt outside the store, and he's looking for me. Hey, Mike, Michael, where? And he turns and he sees me, and when his eyes caught my eyes, he saw I was a changed person.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of the Savage Nation.
New York City, Stewart, line one from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, in line with your comments, I'd like to volunteer to be the first white male over 50 to leave the country, but not only leave the country, but give away all of my possessions that I've worked hard for to the first illegal family that comes forward.
Well, you should, Stuart, because you've had a good number of years in America, haven't you?
It's been enough.
And in a certain way, if you think about it, you stole it from the descendants of the Aztecs. In a strange way, all those years you were working, whatever you may have been doing, you really were taking it from the Aztecs in a certain way.
I didn't deserve it in the first place.
Well, let's not be abstract. I mean, you actually extracted the gold that you hoarded from the Aztecs themselves.
That's a nice way of saying I stole it. Let's call a spade.
Well, I wouldn't be that harsh because this is now the peaceful nation. I'm not as abrupt as I was last week.
Extracted, found.
Now, let me ask, speaking of gold, when you are asked to leave America, do you happen to have any gold teeth?
No.
I mean, any gold fillings, perhaps?
There must be a watch I have laying around somewhere.
Well, I would think that the government should be able to ask you to contribute any gold fillings you have, because this could help balance the budget. There's no better way to make certain that the newcomers are comfortable in this country than to make certain that the whites who are being asked to leave behind all of their gold, including that in their teeth. And by the way, Stuart, I really think that you should eschew normal airline or travel of that kind, because the government said that they have a lot of rolling stock that's empty right now, and that they're going to be using this rolling stock to transport the people, because it's actually kind of invigorating for their health to be exposed to the elements.
One other thing, Mike, despite the fact that I'm a white male and therefore the lowest rung on the totem pole and at the end of the line, I'm going to give my spot away to an illegal. I don't deserve even
that. It's only fair. It's only fair that an illegal alien get your possessions. Well, whether it comes to that or not is debatable, but what is certain to come is that what we see going on in Venezuela will happen in America unless the Messiah is exposed for what he is. Do you know that it is now illegal for anyone in Venezuela to own more than one house? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Anybody who owns more than one house is considered a hoarder and an enemy of the state. And just as the Jews have been driven out of Venezuela, property owners have been flooding out of Venezuela. Did you know that it's also illegal to remove more than $4,000 a year from a bank in Venezuela? And that's to make certain that Father Chavez can appropriate the money for his needs for a better nation. And since our great leader and Chavez got along so greatly, what was that ghetto thing they did with the fists? What's that called, Stuart? You're from New York.
What is what? Oh,
you know,
right
when you
on,
when,
right on.
When they tap the fists, what's that called?
That's a brother to brother. White males need not bother.
I see. So it was a signal between Obama and Chavez that, although they can't say it quite yet, they're blood brothers in some way?
Not even subtle. Oh, they're brothers of the first degree.
And Obama took that book of blaming America for robbing everyone in South America, not talking, of course, about the tin pot dictators nor the folks who cut hearts out and threw the hearts down the Aztec monuments. None of that was discussed. It was all because the white man grew rubber in Brazil.
Mike, I'm taking it one step further. Not only am I giving everything up and headed to Mexico, I want them to experiment on me to see if they can use me to find a cure to swine flu. I think that's...
Well, you know, that's a very, very, very noble gesture of yours. You mean you would actually volunteer to live inside a pig pen?
Hey, I've always wanted to, and it sounds like...
You know, that's a nice idea, because, look, you've had a number of good years here in America, right, Stuart?
Look, it's enough. I've lived...
It's
well
enough. You know, yeah, that's right. And the last year should be spent in medical research.
What more could I do for my fellow man? I mean,
that's right. You know, it's ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for Obama.
That's exactly what I'm trying
to. Ask not what Obama can do for you, but what you can do for Obama.
I want my tax money to go to him.
Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Obama. That's the important thing to remember in any language. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Obama.
God save the queen! The fascist regime, it made you a moron. Potential hate bomb. God save the queen. She ain't no human being. There is no future in England's dreaming. Don't it all go on to want and it all be done.
I missed this group when they were alive. I don't know. I think I was busily raising children, working for a PhD, and holding down two jobs. Must have been fun to get stoned and go to nightclubs and take ecstasy. Because most of them are now running the United States government. And the British government, of course. But those of us who actually worked to get where we are today are shocked at what we see. Yeah, God save the Queen. God save the Queen. Well, here we are. Here we are. Here we are. So that was it. That was the peaceful nation, not the savage nation. And that may be how we have to go. That's where we have to go, is in that direction. But if you learn a few things out of this ban on Michael Savage going to the UK, while known murderers and those who would overthrow the government are allowed to stay there, you've learned that the prophetic genius of Michael Savage has been proven once again. Witness my best-selling book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. I mean, it was on the New York Times bestseller list. You wouldn't know that from the media that interviews me. They'd pretend that I have never written anything. That is because to them there is moral equivalence, and of course there's literary equivalence. If someone writes a check in a checkbook, it is equal to Michael Savage, who has published over 25 books. If an illiterate gangbanger writes a poem in a jail, why, that's equal to George Orwell and Shakespeare put together to the morons in the media. And of course that's why you know nothing about my background, but hey, what can I tell you? I worked very hard for what I've achieved, and I'm very proud of it all. If England doesn't want me, so be it. I wasn't planning on going there anyway. So God save the Queen, as I say. This is not over till it's over. And we are filing. I'm not going to give you the details of who is filing, what we're filing, or who it's being filed with. But it is the first of a very long series of strategic moves to... number one, get my name off that list. Number two, get a written apology from this wonderful genius, Jackie Smith, and for me to call off a travel ban before I really ramp it up. And I will, whatever letters go out and whatever letters come back, I'm going to post on michaelsavage.com. This is an ongoing, evolving saga. The letter that will go out should go out tomorrow from an attorney in Britain, and we will see what comes back from the individuals or the office that we send it to, and then at that point we'll make further decisions. So this is evolving. Again, you can visit the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund on michaelsavage.com. I've not asked you for anything yet because I don't need it right now. But this could wind up costing $2 million, by the way. But you know, there's a lot more at stake than me. Just because the golfer doesn't care, just because Wallbanger doesn't care, just because the leprechaun doesn't care, doesn't mean that you don't care. I'll be right back. Spokane, Washington. Ryan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was wondering why I haven't heard you really rant more about technology, in particular cell phones and MySpace and Facebook and these other...
Well, first of all, I don't rant. I do expostulations and such. But there are others in the business who might rant on it. What exactly is it that you'd like me to say to make you happy?
Everything you say makes me happy. Most of what you say makes me happy, actually. Now, you just made a comment a couple weeks ago.
No, you sounded like a younger woman who was a lib, you know, an Obamaite who wanted me to sound like a fool. No, but really, what are you actually asking?
I'm asking why I don't hear you speak about it more. And don't you think it's one of the major contributors to the downfall of our society, besides liberalism?
Oh, you want me to be a conservative old fuddy-duddy railing against space, MySpace, and all of that?
No,
well, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I don't particularly go online to talk to people. I would rather talk to them in person. There are those who do, and it's just another way of meeting people. I don't see anything wrong with it. Eventually, they have to meet each other, where their human qualities or lack thereof will show. I think it's a more efficient way than going to a bar, for example, and talking to 10,000 strangers until you meet your wife.
All right, I'll give you that. But
I'm saying, like, you know, I watch some of these eHarmony ads. You know, I don't know whether to believe them or not. You know, see happy couples. I don't believe it for a minute. But I would believe that if a person sends in a, you know, here I am, I like this. This is the, like, what would your colors I like and music I like and I like whales and I like, you know, trees and I like guns and all. So you meet a woman like that. Yeah, that's a good start. Can you imagine the amount of time you have to spend randomly trying to meet someone who you have to get through all of that with? So in that sense, I think it's a wonderful way to cut through so many wasted dates, for example.
What about the
cell phones? What's wrong with a cell phone? It's revolutionized communication. I think it's phenomenal. I know people who run billion-dollar businesses on cell phones. They can be anywhere in the world, and they're not imprisoned. It's freed people rather than imprisoned them.
You think so?
I know so. Well, I have a friend right now who's on vacation in a tropical paradise, still running a company that does a tremendous amount of business. This individual could not do this if he didn't have a cell phone and a BlackBerry.
But you don't think people are kind of walking around hypnotized and entranced by their little BlackBerries and cell phones, and they can't leave the house without them?
Yeah, but you have less time for neurosis this way. There's less time to fear things. If you're on your BlackBerry with two thumbs, there's less time to worry about the eternal questions. This is much better this way. You just live thinking that you're conquering the universe by pressing keys on a BlackBerry. It's far better than facing the eternal questions that I had to face. You see that? I got you to laugh. I got you to laugh. So I take it you're not happy with all these technologies.
I think it's making people very dumb. I think they don't read as much as they used to.
Read? Why are you kidding me? They're reading BlackBerries. They're reading telegram messages on BlackBerries. No need for punctuation. No need for any kind of articulation. It's wonderful. Everyone's been reduced to the level of an ignorant rap musician. What could be better? You talk about democracy. Everyone's now down to a first grade level. What could be better?
It's cutting across all party lines. It's tripartisanship.
So have you tried to find a mate on one of these space pages or whatever?
Oh, I don't know. I met my husband in a bar, and we've been married for...
Okay. Thank you for the low blow. Women always win. But that was easy. I wanted you to give me a good gut shot.
I'm a big fan, and I'm not a lib. I'm articulate, but I'm not a lib.
And you also sound like you're a lib. That's the you could be a great reversal. You could really be. You could do a lot of damage to them up in Spokane. Thanks for being a good sport on the Savage Nation. So I have nothing. I have in my pocket, but I carry the old and the new technology. In my pocket, I have, of course, a cell phone. It's people laugh at it. The young ones snicker. Look at that man with a fat cell phone. You know, they think slimmer makes them smarter. I love it. I just love it. What I love is you go into a hotel lobby where there's a bar, which I will do on occasion in San Francisco, and you see the poor young people, they're staring into their palm as though it's sort of a crystal ball. And in this crystal ball is all of their future and all of their hopes or dreams are tied up in their hand. And, of course, everyone's pretending that they're meeting someone there and that they just showed up a little early, even though they're looking for someone. And the chances of them meeting someone are diminished by the fact that they're not looking at anyone while they're really looking for someone, because they're looking into the palm of their hand to pretend that they're actually meeting someone. So as I say, I mean, certainly that inhibits the chance of meeting someone when you're looking into your own hand as though the future lies in your hand. I also, as a social observer, every time I walk past a telephone store now, I laugh to myself. I do have my own sense of humor, which keeps me going here. I walk past, like, Verizon, and it's always the same kind of, like, icky, creepy guys that look like they might be, you know, Pee Wee Herman's on the side. I don't know, like tight pants, weird haircuts, pointy shoes, and kind of like freaky faces. And you see women, or you see, okay, you see people sitting at desks with them as though they're in confessionals. Go and look at the people in these Verizon stores as they talk to one of these creepy Pee Wee Herman salesmen about their telephonic needs. And it's as though they're in a confessional or in a psychiatrist's office of 10 years ago, and they're leaning over with their heart on their hand, and this is what I need, and this is what I'm looking for. And the guy's like, I think I have just the exact... This is their whole world is wrapped up in the latest thin telephonic device, which I can never understand. I feel as though I've landed on a strange planet. So in many ways, I do enjoy the current society. It's entertaining for me to look at these things as they go on. Devices, sure, I live on the computer. I'm on 12 hours a day. I'm going blind from it. Cell phone, I have a pocket watch that's not digital. It has a second hand and actual hands that glow in the dark, and it's round like a railroad guy's watch. It's a Timberland Swiss something or another watch from 20 years ago. I like to look at the time as the hand goes around. I didn't tell you this. What a great call for this. I also collect antique clocks. I don't have many. I like French bronze, marble, and such 19th century, early 20th century French three-piece sets. Okay, I have a few of them, and they're all running well. Well, this is strange. One of them, which I've had for 5 years, I bought at auction 10 years ago for $600. It was a steal because it was designed for the export market by the French in the 1890s, and it was designed for export probably to Syria or Egypt because it's designed like a mosque. And it's astounding. And both of the two side candelabra pieces are like little minarets, and the design of the green alabaster marble is that of a mosque. It's gorgeous. And as I say, the French design for overseas markets, it ran fine for 6 years. About a week ago, it stopped running. I happen to be in flux right now. I'm not going to disclose where, but I'm going to be moving to an undisclosed state and an undisclosed location part-time. Back and forth. No one's going to know where I am and when, and I'm not going to tell you why, where, or how. And it's as though this clock is a pet. It stopped running. I swear to God, I think that clocks have souls. I know that sounds crazy, but I know that pets have souls because they behave weirdly too when they know you're leaving them or you're ditching them or you're not thinking right about them. They start, you know, like peeing in strange places in your house, hopefully not in your shoes while you're sleeping at night. But again, even my dog is acting up, and I have to tell him, look, if you keep it up, you're not coming with me. Naturally, that makes him more nervous, so he does more of the sneaky stuff. And then I say, well, you're not coming with me, so he does it again that night. So it's a vicious circle. But the fact of the matter is, I also collect the antique clocks. And yesterday, last night, I had my clocksmith come over. I'm not going to divulge his name nor his story. But after work, I went home and I asked this clocksmith who came over, who was trained. You want to believe this story? Here he is working on my clock. He has a screwdriver that's a German screwdriver, maybe 70 years old. I look at it immediately and see the quality of the machining on the screwdriver. I know it wasn't made in China out of pressed steel. And I show him some tools that my father left for me when he died. You won't believe how beautiful these things are. And we're talking about tools and clocks and watches. And I said, didn't you have to apprentice to become a clocksmith? He said, yes, I did. He said, I had to become an apprentice for several years. And in order to pass the apprenticeship exam, I had to make a clock. We all did. I said, well, when you go, when you die off, I mean, he's an elderly gentleman, are there any people around who still can fix a clock? He said, surprisingly few. And that's it. So I said, I don't know. Well, all these clocks are going to stop and not run again because there's no one learning how to fix a clock. Now, why would somebody waiting online in New York City in the freezing rain for a job with DHS, ICE, or FBI want to learn how to fix a clock when they might actually have to go to school, master a trade, pass an exam, when in the option they could just simply go to work and sit on their behinds as though they're still in college, go out at night and get drunk and come to work in the morning and try to capture Osama bin Laden or his minions before they set off another bomb in the subway? Don't get me started. I know what's going on. I've tried to warn you, but I failed. I admit my failure. I failed. 15 years I've tried to warn you that diversity is a cover for perversity. But I failed. You didn't listen to me. You were led to believe that it's just an alternative lifestyle. It has no effect on the people themselves. You were led to believe that this kind of abominable behavior between men will not lead to a devastation in this society. You were led to believe that anything goes because you were told that anything goes. I warned you what would happen.
Savage.